Good afternoon. Thank you for, I thank the council for allowing me the opportunity to come and give you an update on the Barnwell disposal facility. Also, would like to thank the council for their service to our state. More people need to volunteer and do things for our state. Which button?
Not the one you just pushed.
Thank you, Trish.
This is Barnwell at night.
Forward.
That button. This is just, and I've got a number of slides, so I'm going to go a little bit quickly. If you would like me to stop, feel free to interrupt me. A little bit on safety and compliance, our workforce, the Barnwell disposal facility, our environmental lab, environmental and dosimetry lab, our processing facility, and some other services that we have to offer. Safety is very important to us at Barnwell. Throughout the complex, in 2013, we've had 3 first aid cases, total recordable case rate of 2, a days away restricted transfer of 5, and a days away case rate of 1. These are very high numbers for us. It was the result of an employee who pulled a muscle doing normal work. It just happened to happen at work. The physician said it could have happened at home. And he lost a couple of weeks of work. We have a very robust safety observation checklist, which all employees have an opportunity to participate in, where anytime they see an unsafe act, they can stop, they correct that unsafe act, and document that for lessons learned. The complex has received the 2013 Perfect Record Award and the 2013 Safety Leadership Award from the National Safety Council. Energy Solutions, our owner, also owns Hittman Transport Services, and in 2013 they came in second place in the regional fleet of the year. Compliance, another very strong item for the Barnwell complex with 43 years of uninterrupted operations. Throughout the year, we have a number of internal, external, and independent assessments, both by Energy Solutions personnel and third parties. And we have another very robust program that we call Management Field Observations, where we require our managers and supervisors to get out in the field with their workforce, watch what's going on, document what's going on, and look for improvements. Another part of our compliance is our DHEC oversight, licensing and oversight. We have 5 radioactive materials throughout the Barnwell complex. Our regulatory agency, DHEC, provides an on-site inspector who inspects 100% of the disposal shipments. Weekly, their engineers come down for an engineering inspection of the disposal facility. And then all of our licenses have unannounced inspections twice a year. And in 2013, we've got a great record of 0 notices of violations. Energy Solutions, we feel, has a fairly good impact in the state of South Carolina. We have about 232 employees. 36 of those employees are at the disposal facility. 10 are at our Barnwell processing facility. 4 with our Hittman facility, and that doesn't count our drivers. 4 in a division that I'll speak very shortly about later on called CAS Logistics. Other energy solutions and operations in Barnwell account for about 32 employees, and about 146 employees in our Aiken and Columbia, South Carolina offices. The Barnwell complex and Barnwell disposal facility is a great place to work. The average length of employment at Barnwell complex is greater than 20 years. The Barnwell Disposal Facility, or the BDF, the blue outlined areas indicate areas available for future waste disposal, and the yellow outlined areas indicate closed areas. The disposal facility is 235 acres, owned by the state of South Carolina, leased back through the South Carolina Budget and Control Board, and operates under operates the disposal facility under the South Carolina DHEC Radioactive Materials License 097. We're the host disposal site for the Atlantic Compact, accepting Class A, B, and C waste 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. We also accept large components and irradiated hardware shipments on a case-by-case basis. Since we have a lot of the acreage that is at capacity and capped, we spend a fair amount of time doing institutional activities, which is site maintenance and environmental monitoring. We place enhanced caps, and I'll go over what an enhanced cap consists of. This is a quick map that shows the enhanced capped areas. The yellow areas are current active areas at the site, and then our water management ponds. And as I said, we're the host site for the Atlantic Compact with South Carolina, New Jersey, and Connecticut. About 95% of the 235 acres are under institutional care, and accounts for about 28 million cubic feet of buried waste, consisting of 14.3 million curies, which was the radioactivity at the time of disposal, and decays through natural radioactive decay. That number is actually less. We have about 1 million cubic feet of disposal capacity remaining with the current volumes that we are receiving. I'm not going to go through this slide, but this is some of the key event dates in the lifetime of the disposal facility. And right now we're at the end where we are part of the Atlantic Compact. Real quickly on our waste disposal, all waste arrives by truck. Most shipments are the high integrity containers or HICs. We use a crane to lift and place the waste packages in a pre-positioned concrete disposal vault. All waste classes go in the same trench, but are separate from we provide a separation between stable and unstable waste via the vault configuration. And all the vaults are South Carolina DHEC approved design and construction. We also take irradiated hardware and large components, pricing on those on a case-by-case basis, and we encourage our generators to coordinate shipments to reduce the cost per unit a little bit. Talked about caps. We have placed enhanced caps on top of our closed trenches, and they consist of a multi-layer geotextile configuration. And this greatly reduces the amount of downward percolation of water that falls on the site. A chart showing the recent annual waste volumes. FY00 and 01, we were just getting into the Atlantic Compact arrangement, and you can see for FY12-13, we're down to a good bit in waste volumes. Next slide shows that in a numerical sense. And we're predicting to stay right around the 9,000 to 8,000 cubic feet per year waste, with most of the waste coming from routine utility waste. The regulatory agencies that we interface with, the South Carolina Budget and Control Board for prices, setting the prices for waste disposal. The Public Service Commission, the arrangement we have with the state is that we are reimbursed for allowable costs. And the PSC helps determine those allowable costs. The Office of Regulatory Staff does detailed audits on our actual costs, and Department of Health and Environmental Control does our licensing for radioactive materials. Part of the agreement that we have with the state and the Budget Control Board is a memorandum of understanding signed in June of 2009. Disposal rates and access fees cover the operating cost only. Revenue is neutral to the state of South Carolina. Our institutional costs, again, about 95% of the 235 acres is under institutional care, is capped at about $2 million a year, starting in, I think it was 2008, and increases yearly by the PPI. So for the fiscal year we're in now, it's $2.17 million. And that's dispersed out of the decommissioning trust funds and covers the maintenance and monitoring. Once the decommissioning trust fund is gone, it'll come out of the extended care fund. Bottom line, no use of public funds to cover the operational cost shortfalls other than allowed by law. Our disposal rates. We have an alternate rate schedule. The current one was published by the Budget Control Board for fiscal year 13-14. Individual reactors may choose what is called Option B, which is an access fee. The interim revenue requirement is $4.5 million, and that should cover about 7,000 cubic feet. That's our base as we develop our budgets year to year. The Option B participant gets an equal share of the cost and an equal share of the 7,000 cubic feet. There's a differential between the budget and what is collected through the access fees, and that difference is made up from the budget proviso funds. Other generators, primarily non-utilities, use a maximum uniform rate schedule. So for the current fiscal year, the five utilities in South Carolina, New Jersey, and Connecticut all have chosen the Option B pricing with a $87,000 quarterly access fee per reactor. And that allows them 538 cubic feet of waste per fiscal year. If they go over that number, they can contract with another utility in the Atlantic Compact to share waste, or they can pay $133 per cubic foot for that overage. Oh, forgot to press. The maximum uniform rate schedule puts a permanent ceiling on disposal rates applicable to the Atlantic Compact waste, adjusted each year in accordance with PPI. The pricing is based on a number of factors, and in my opinion, it's extremely complex. And that's just some of the items that are considered during the pricing. The Barnwell Environmental Dosimetry Lab houses our radiological dosimetry, does our environmental monitoring, does some radiological laboratory work, dosimetry engineering support, site characterization work for the site, and our hazardous material management for the facility. Part of our radioactive materials license, 097, is conditions that require, that lay out 16 prescriptive performance objectives. We have completed what we consider to be phase one closure in June of 2013, providing DHEC with objective proof that we have met the 16 performance objectives. Financial assurances, our decommissioning trust fund, on 9/30/13 had about $4.18 million in it. number I got just early this week. It's down about 3.8, down to about 3.8 million. The extended care maintenance fund had a balance of 145.5 million. It's up to about 146.8 million. This is our Barnwell processing facility, very close to the Barnwell disposal facility. 17-acre facility, two buildings, provide a number of services: high activity filter processing, waste volume reduction, dewatering for high integrity containers, various waste treatment, decontamination processing processes, and water processing. That facility shares a boundary with the Department of Energy Savannah Riverside. Building 101 is the smaller of the two buildings on the facility, climate controlled concrete facility, 7,500 square feet, large open work bay to work in, a sort and segregation facility to sort waste into the proper waste classes and waste descriptions, and a super compactor for the waste. Excuse me. Barnwell Processing Building 201 is the larger of the two buildings, 20,000 square feet. At one time had a lot of open floor space. We've added some work efforts, the high activity filter processing and the and our radiological waste testing laboratory. And we also do high integrity container dewatering in those areas. High activity filter processing is in this area. The high integrity container dewatering is in this area. Our waste testing lab is outside of the picture. This is one of our shipping casts. We'll take a high integrity container out of that, place it inside of a concrete shielding vault, hook up dewatering mechanisms, and do the final dewatering prior to disposal for that container. Another part of Energy Solutions business in at the Barnwell Complex is Hittman Transport Services. Hittman Transport has two dispatch terminals, one in Barnwell and one in Tennessee. And as you can see, a variety of equipment to safely and compliantly move radioactive material on the highways of the states. Our last business is our cast logistics. Casts are the shipping containers approved by the Department of Transportation or the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. We can rent casts, we can sell, maintain casts. We're having four new Type B casts built as we speak, and I think two or four Type A casts being built. And I'll be glad to entertain any questions.
Thank you very much, Mike. Questions?
I've got a question. In terms of your environmental reports, your environmental monitoring reports, where are those published, and where can people access those?
On the South Carolina DHEC website, mm-hmm. And I think Mrs. Jenkins will be providing some information on that during her presentation.
Right. And the other thing is, what kind of information do you provide to the public? Do you have annual hearings or meetings to talk about the progress at Barnwell and updates?
We do not have an annual public meeting or hearing. We've always maintained a very open door policy. Folks are welcomed. I don't think. Well, I've worked there for far too long. We've never turned anyone down on the days that I have been there at work.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Other questions?
When I was there, I guess about a year ago, you showed me around very well, but you left me with message which you showed here that you're about to run out of room. At the current levels that you're taking, what's the foreseeable future?
The prediction is about 30 years based upon the volumes that we're receiving now. We got about 1 million cubic feet of volume remaining to be used at 7,000 to 8,000 cubic feet a year, saving some additional volume for decommissioning of reactor facilities within the Atlantic Compact, which could potentially take up additional space. So, 28, 30 years.
Well, I guess I don't have to worry about that then.
But you never can tell.
But the real thing, as I mentioned, you mentioned at the time, there was some other land contiguous around there that was available. Is that still available?
Yes, sir. There is. Can't get back to the slides, can I?
Yeah. On the map.
Yeah. That's good right there. This area right here is owned by Energy Solutions. Over the years, in I guess the early 70s, back then Chem Nuclear Systems was the company, and we were able to buy this property. The landowner held out for a number of years, so after we were licensed, we were able to purchase that property, but there was no sense, no need at that time to incorporate that piece of property into the disposal site. So it still remains as it's within the confines of our fenced area or our restricted area, but there is no radioactive materials in those areas. And I think it's about 17 acres. I could be wrong.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a question, which you may have answered in the pricing slides, but I don't do costs. I hate that part of it, so I didn't pay attention.
You're not the one.
If I'm right, Oyster Creek is going to shut down soon. So my question is, do you, the decommissioning waste, is that part of the millions cubic feet that's
yes.
left? And do you say a third of it, it'll go to decommissioning and we'll... And if Oyster Creek gets there before anybody else and uses up all the decommissioning space, that's the end of it? How do you work out decommissioning waste?
I believe that the decommissioning waste predictions is that X amount of volume will come out of 13 reactors over a period of 30 years. Or over a period of 30 years, X number of the 13 reactors will be in a decommissioning mode. Potentially be in a decommissioning mode, and that's with 20-year, you know, looking considering 20-year
right.
extensions. All of their waste will not come to Barnwell. So, looking at their Class B and C waste that will come to Barnwell increases the yearly volumes that we see. I think it would be difficult for the first reactor facility to shut down to take up all of the remaining volume that's at Barnwell.
But you're only scheduled to take the B and C waste?
No, ma'am. Oh. We're scheduled to take A, B, and C waste.
From the decommission?
Excuse me. Right now, we take A, B, and C waste.
Right.
Since it's hard to predict the future and what the owners of Oyster Creek would do at that time, economics will drive a lot of it. And they could probably dispose of it at our Utah site
mm-hmm.
far more economical than they could sending it to Barnwell.
Okay, gotcha. And you said you had 14.3 million curies or so. I'm not asking you to give me the numbers, but have you got that? Can you, if somebody asked you, could you pull out long live versus short live? That
yes.
What's in there?
Yes.
Okay. I don't want to know that. I just want to know that.
Thank you.
Did track that? Thank you.
We track by isotope.
Okay, gotcha. Other questions? Okay. Thank you very much, Mark.
Thank you.
Oh, wait.
You still do military vehicle decontamination?
No, sir.
The non-utility waste, what is that largely hospital waste?
No, sir. It's primarily industry waste with sources. And there are a handful of small industrial uses of radioactive material in the three states. So it's a very small amount of waste.
Densitometers.
Yes, sir.
What's the status of your radioactive material license, 97? Is it fully approved?
It's in timely renewal.
Okay. Has been for how long?
I forget how long. Deborah, how long?
About 10 years.
10 years?
How long is the license good for?
Until we are told by South Carolina DHEC that it's no longer valid. In timely renewal, we can continue. We've had amendments to the license while it's been in timely renewal.
But a license period is how long?
I believe licenses are reapplied for every 5 years in South Carolina.
So while you're in timely renewal, you don't reapply?
No, sir.
So you've been in this period for two license periods, more or less?
Believe so, yes, sir.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Okay.
There's water up here. If anybody can down. I can get more cups if I need to, but just help yourself.
Good afternoon. I'd also like to thank you for inviting us here to present to you an annual update on the Kim Nuclear site. Before I get started, I wanted to mention that I know some, at least one of you is aware that Richard Haynes, our director, retired in October. He was the director of the Division of Waste Management, of which my section is a part, the Radioactive Waste Management section is a part of that. We do have a new director. His name is David Scaturo. He's actually here today in the audience. And David has been with the agency for 22 years. He started out in the mining program. And most recently, he worked in the hazardous waste program in the section that dealt with DOD sites. So we're glad to have him. I'll just start out and give a brief overview. This is just an aerial view of the disposal facility that was taken, I believe, in 2012. It started operating in 1971. Currently, 120 acres have been capped. Quickly, I'll go over this projected timeline. I know that Mike spoke a little bit about it. As I said, the site opened in 1971, and on July 1st of 2008, two important things happened. One was that the site began compact-only operations, so now we only accept waste from the three states of the Atlantic Compact, that being South Carolina, Connecticut, and New Jersey. At that same time, we began Phase 1 closure activities. The site is to be closed in two phases. The first phase incorporates all of the disposal acreage that was utilized up until July 1st, 2008. And phase two will be the closure activities for the rest of the site, the rest of the acreage. And we're here in 2014. It's projected that the site will operate until approximately 2038. That's not a number that's set in stone. But that is the number that we're projecting based on 30 years of operations from July 1st, 2008. So just overall, the status of the Kim Nuclear site as far as its operations life is that it's in Atlantic Compact operations only at this point. The Phase 1 closure activities are complete. 86% of the site, and when I say that, I mean the disposal acreage, the amount that's okay for waste burial, is now in the five-year post-closure observation period, which is a time where we just look at the site, we look at the caps to make sure that they're continuing to perform, and that observation period will also happen at the end of at the end of phase two closure. We also have received extensive documentation from the licensee showing that the 16 performance objectives listed in the license have been met. During phase two, of course, we will receive that information again, and it will be updated, and we will review it again at that time. And just to give you an update on the license appeal, back in March 2004, DHEC renewed the Chem Nuclear license for the disposal facility. It is renewed every 5 years, or they apply for renewal every 5 years. In April of 2004, that decision was appealed by both the Sierra Club and Environmentalist Incorporated. However, the Administrative Law Court dismissed Environmentalist Incorporated based on lack of standing. The next year, the Administrative Law Court issued an order affirming the license renewal, and then Sierra Club appealed that decision. And fast forward to March of 2010, the South Carolina Court of Appeals issued an order, and they affirmed in part, and then they remanded part of the decision back to the Administrative Law Court, asking them to make specific findings on essentially their conclusions as to whether the site was in compliance with certain parts of the regulation. And so there was a motion for rehearing that was denied by the Court of Appeals. The South Carolina Supreme Court did not agree to hear the case, so that put it back in the hands of the Administrative Law Court. And in July 2012, they issued an order based on those sections that were remanded back to them, affirming that Chem Nuclear was